You're listening to The Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I'm Saba.
And I'm Brannon.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. Today's guest is Kristen with an Oklahoma-owned creative cannabis company. Tribe is a vertically integrated company with a focus on solventless extraction along with crafting intentional cannabis products. We're super excited to get to know her along with the brand and her journey. So please welcome Kristen, Chief Operating Officer of Tribe to the Cannabis Hangout.
Hey, Kristen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for just taking time out of your busy day, I know, and your schedule to come chat with us. I appreciate that.
Always have time for you guys.
Thank you so much. So let's just start from the beginning. And will you tell us where the first time was that you remember like consuming cannabis and what your experience is like?
So I've listened to your previous episodes.
Okay.
And I kind of knew that you guys were going to start with this. Honestly, my first experience with cannabis was kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
Also. I mean, I smoked a joint. I got couch lock.
And that was me too.
I smashed some Mexican food, and then that was kind of the extent of it.
Do you remember how old you were?
I was in college.
Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up in a pretty conservative home.
Okay.
Cannabis was not around. I was an athlete, so I didn't really put anything in my body growing up.
Mm-hmm. What kind of athlete were you?
Well, I grew up playing softball.
Okay, cool.
But my dad is a college athlete, and so we played a little bit of everything.
Yes,
if
I can imagine.
Needed, I played it.
Yeah, because your dad, too.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
Naturally.
And he always wanted to be your coach. And,
yeah.
You know.
Always wanted to make you good at things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But it taught me a lot of structure, taught me a lot of other things.
Yeah. I'm
grateful for it.
Did you grow up in Oklahoma?
I did. Born and raised.
What part of Oklahoma?
So my family is originally from Eastern Oklahoma.
Okay.
But when I started school and stuff, I've been in the Oklahoma City area. I went to Westmore.
Okay, cool. Right on.
Yeah. I know that is. So what over the years has attracted you to cannabis and like why has it stayed in your life?
So it's funny. I've not really had a relationship with cannabis until I was an adult. When you talk about my first experience with cannabis, I can't help but think back. So I really didn't have a lot of exposure to cannabis. But when I was in law school, I worked for a criminal judge.
Mm-hmm.
And in school, they have this mentor program and you check boxes and you decide, you know, what it is that you're interested in. And having been at the courthouse, I just checked cannabis. Like that wasn't really where I had originally intended to go, but you know, let's just see what's out there.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of, you know, people come through the court systems because of cannabis.
Right.
And so I get paired up with a mentor and who just happens to be an attorney and one of the founding members of Tribe.
Okay.
I didn't hear from him. So I, you know, it's coming time. We're supposed to be having these meetings and I reach out to him on LinkedIn and I'm like, hey, you know, we've got a deadline here. And when you're in law school, everything is like super structured and I'm emailing him. He's like, whoa, I totally forgot. We're in the middle of harvest and here's a pen. Why don't you come out here and you can see the property and see what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm in law school and I'm like, well, okay, so this random guy on LinkedIn gives me a pen.
Right.
Come out to the middle of nowhere down this 6-mile dirt road and you're going to come see this cannabis harvest. And I'm like, everything about this feels wrong.
Yeah, very taboo.
All the red flags are going up. Like, should I go in the middle of nowhere with a stranger? What's happening?
Right?
But it's an opportunity.
I know, right? Yeah. So, of course, I'm like, you're hungry when you're in law school.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'm willing. I'll go. I'll do this. So I'm giving all of my friends this pen, and I'm like, if I don't come back, this is where I'm going.
Yeah. As you should.
Yeah, absolutely. So I drive down a 6-mile dirt road. There's this, you know, fence that's, you know, tarp lined because you can't see in because of regulations.
Okay.
And so it's already a little bit intimidating. And I get out there and they have 80 acres of, and wow. I mean, this is at the beginning of harvest. So these fields are full of
beautiful
13-foot Christmas trees.
Wow. Wow.
And for someone who has no concept or relationship with cannabis, the first plant that you ever see is bigger than the one that you decorate in your house at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
That's so cool. That was your like first experience with that.
Yes. Yeah. So when you ask about the first time that I've consumed, it's way more eventful to talk about the first time that I actually saw a cannabis plant.
Wow, that's such a cool experience. I'd like,
I know,
just blindly throwing yourself in there.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Obviously something right.
Because you're like working for that company, for that person you went to visit.
Yeah. And I mean, he was really honest. He was like, "We, you know, I don't do what it is that you think that maybe you want to do, but I, you know, I can, you can meet people in the agency. I know people at OMA. If cannabis is even remotely something that you're interested in." And then by the time that I was leaving, we were already having conversations about, well, why don't you come run compliance for us? So it lined up. I came from an oil and gas background, which is heavily regulated.
Yeah.
So now being in the industry, I recognize that it was completely different because those regulations are have been set in stone for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And every 6 months we get new regulations, but I had a path or a way.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah. Keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
Sure it?
All
does.
Those 6 months
it made sense
regulation.
There.
Yeah.
So how would you say that cannabis has been an ally in your life? And what do you personally medicate for?
So I have anxiety. I have a little bit of OCD. So when things don't go right, I have a tendency to get heightened. I'm a mom. I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. So any mom will tell you that when you fall asleep at night, you're body is turning off, but your brain is not.
Yeah.
And so I don't sleep well. Most of my cannabis consumption is in the evening time after everything's said and done.
Yeah.
It helps with anxiety and to kind of free my worrying thoughts, I guess is the best way to put it.
No, that's good. I can totally relate to that. And I'm sure it helps with just everything in life. And
yes.
I can imagine having it. I don't have a kid, but being a mother, being a single mother, and then wanting to wind down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's your go-to way to smoke? Like, what's your...
I'm a flower girl.
You're a flower girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like to roll your own or do you like them pre-rolled?
Well, I do both.
Okay.
Atta girl. I mean, tribe, we have pre-rolls, so of course I do both.
Yes, which is nice.
but I can roll my own, but now I'm just a cone stuffer.
It's,
you know.
Easy.
It's more about, I mean, it's more about what I'm putting in the cone.
Yes, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah. So. Yeah. At least I haven't made it to the roll. I don't roll. Saw the rolls. But
there's an art to it for sure.
There is. There's an art to it. And I'm not like, I feel like I like dabs or concentrates. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that I obviously flower first, I feel like over everything, you know, but it's just different when you get into dab and concentrates because I'm just smoking the flower that's around me from whoever I'm around, you know. I'm not like rolling it up on my own or like, you know, stuffing a cone. I'm just like, oh, well, if you light one up, I'll probably hit it.
I have always been that way.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like, I would say probably in the last year that I even learned, like I got a machine and I'm
Oh,
those machines are so nice.
They're so handy.
You don't have to do a lot. Once you figure out the machine, it's like, whoop, and it's done.
2 seconds later.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I need. That's what I've been saying.
I know.
So what is your go-to like guilty pleasure munchie? Like if you had to choose.
Oh my gosh. So I'm a savory person.
Okay.
But when I'm smoking, it's like savory first and then always ice cream.
Okay.
So
it's then ice cream.
The things.
So what flavor ice cream do you go to?
I like to build ice cream. I'm a very big sundae maker. Yeah.
Ooh.
So we always start with vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
And it has to be Bluebell, and it has to be like homestyle vanilla, and then anything that you can throw on top of it, I've probably done.
So what has been your latest creation? What was the last one that you made?
So I am really into like breaking up cookies or breaking up candy, and then like a scoop of peanut butter.
Ooh.
With your ice cream.
That is the sundae.
Oh, okay. So there's not actual vanilla ice cream in there.
No.
Oh, there is. Yeah. Okay. On top of the sundae. That's like the toppings on top.
Oh, okay.
It's like a sundae buffet.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun. Do you? Is it a daughter you have?
I do. I have a daughter. Yeah.
I bet that's fun to do together. Does she do that too?
Yes. So she's a big ice cream fan. She's the sweet. I'm the savory. So.
Okay, that's a good balance. Yeah, it's a perfect balance. You get best of both worlds.
But she'd eat a chocolate shake every night if I'd let her.
Yeah, I can't say I blame her. Brahms. So I know, good. That's especially if you get it with soft serve.
Ooh, we've okay. not done that.
So here's a cheat code for all you Oklahoma and non-Oklahoma listeners that know Brahms. If you get your ice cream with soft serve, like, or your milkshakes, which I'll do sometimes. So obviously, like, a cookies and cream you can't do. But, like, if I get a banana milkshake, mm-hmm. I'll do it with soft serve. And it's a lot lighter on my stomach. And it tastes okay. so much better.
Okay.
So if you get, like, a twist, you could do a twist milkshake.
Yeah.
I like those. But if you do a chocolate milkshake, I'll do it with, like, soft serve instead
of. Okay, we're trying it tonight.
Yeah. Soft serve. Or if you do, like, I think you can do soft, like, you can do chocolate with a little bit of like soft serve vanilla, which is really good because then it adds like the vanilla cream, which you may as well just do a twist at that point. But anyways, it's my rant. So speaking of family, all family dynamics can be different. Is your family supportive of what you do and the role you play in the company in the cannabis space and just everything? Because I mean, your life isn't cannabis, but your career is. And I know that people tend to blend career and person together as one. So what's that like with your family? What's that dynamic like? If you're ever in the Oklahoma City area, check out Chill Dispensary at 22 Northeast 10th Street.
They're good people with hand-washed, single-source live rosin, flower, pre-rolls, and other solventless products.
So go show them some love and enjoy a chill experience.
Now back to the episode.
It's changed. Right. So since before everything was legal, I know that my family was 100% not on board because, you know, we're just kind of rule followers. Yeah. They're pretty mm-hmm. conservative.
Yeah.
Me being attorney, same concept.
Right. I can mm-hmm. understand that.
But family is important to me. Two of my brothers actually work for Tribe. So.
Okay. That's awesome. Hell yeah.
I have three
That's
brothers.
Family cool. affair.
Yeah.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah. Three. So you have three brothers and you're the only girl.
I am.
Okay, yeah, are you the nice. Youngest, oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
It was like wrangling cats growing up.
Yeah.
I bet. Wow. Boys are built differently.
They are.
Especially
girls
if you're
are
the only.
With boys
yes.
are especially built differently.
Yes, they sure are.
Yeah. I was just about to say.
You're strong and you're tough and you're all yes. things.
All the things because they've put you through the ringer in all yeah. sorts of ways, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, you asked an interesting question earlier about how cannabis was an ally in my life. Mm-hmm. And I know we were talking about consumption in general, but because I am who I am, and sorry.
That's okay.
It's all good.
No, we do. Busy woman.
Well, when you're a mom, you kind of leave that thing.
Yeah, it's yeah. okay. I get it.
I lost my train of thought.
You were saying
I've always kind of grown up with a strong voice, mm-hmm. right? And being an attorney, you know, you're empowered to use your voice. But there are certain aspects in certain fields where men are more prevalent in the right. industry, and cannabis being an ally to me is that I've not really found that there are barriers for women mm-hmm. in business in cannabis. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the smart ones move, the cream rises, like mm-hmm. it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your background is.
Because there's so many different people in the cannabis industry who came from all different Absolutely. Kinds of backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're generous with your knowledge and you are eager to learn,
right.
The community will embrace you.
Yeah.
And so
you're so right about that.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
We have a really supportive community. Shout out to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so if you could paint the perfect day for yourself, Kristen, with like no work responsibilities or stress, where would you be? What would you be doing? You could literally be anywhere.
I attempted to embrace this last year. So one of my favorite places to be is outside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And because we have an outdoor grow, if you go towards the end of the summer in the evening time, mm-hmm. Our grow is not set up like, you know, big commercial grow where it's one field all along. We're in eastern Oklahoma. We're on the Canadian River Valley. So it's just really peaceful to be there in the evenings, kind of around sunset. It's like walking through a vineyard. Of cannabis.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Around sunset. Yeah. I bet that's gorgeous out there.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do at the end of like a summer day on the farm is definitely to grab a joint, grab your peers, walk through the fields, look at your babies,
yeah,
kind of take stock of what you, you know, all the hard work that you're putting in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be, that is one of my favorite things to do.
That's cool.
That's solid.
That's very fulfilling too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, for sure. And just being surrounded by them.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
So flipping the script a little bit in your own words, Kristen, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I? Well, like Saab said earlier, sometimes your career begins to define you.
And, yeah.
I don't necessarily think that of myself, but I do think that my role in Tribe, I'm the COO at Tribe. I'm over both. So I don't know if people know this about Tribe, but we are actually two companies. We have the farm, which is Tribe Collective. Mm-hmm. And then we have our headquarters here in Oklahoma City, which is Tribe Edibles. And my role is to basically run operations over both of them.
Okay.
I am mostly over, you know, people and processes, mm-hmm. the people side. I manage HR aspect of things. And then from the process side, it's just more about putting the right people in the right places, putting the experts where they belong, and then helping them execute those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fulfilling part of my role is, for me, is being able to be, to utilize my position to be able to kind of pour back in to mm-hmm. the people that yeah. we have. So helping, I came from a very structured background. I was an attorney. I was in business for 10 years. A lot of the people that are, you know, the most brilliant and brightest in our industry, you know, weren't exposed to the same things that I was exposed to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if we can come together, which I think that that's what we're doing at Tribe, is, you know, we brought in the most brilliant and brightest people and the experts in their field, whether it be in marketing or whether it be in the kitchen as a chef or our, you know, our female grower out at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
They bring the expertise and then I bring the business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the other piece of that, you know, working on the HR side, because I did come from a business background and I recognize that a lot of the businesses in cannabis aren't necessarily structured like businesses.
Yeah.
They're kind of just startups.
Yeah.
You don't get the benefit of that structure that I'm used to. So a lot of people don't have benefits. You know, they
right.
don't have PTO. They mm-hmm. don't have the things that direct deposit even. Like that was one of the first things that we were seeing in the industry. So by having exposure to those things and understanding what, you know, corporate America utilizes to keep good people, to get good people. We've been able to kind of incorporate a lot of that in our business. One of which, I guess I will talk about one of the programs that I'm most excited about for our business that we've kind of implemented is, so Oklahoma, if you're familiar with Sooner Care,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Oklahoma provides a state-funded healthcare system for people who don't have access to healthcare. But once you move into the like a business side of things, so if you're employed by a business who offers healthcare, Obamacare looks different for you. So there is a tobacco settlement mm-hmm. that from that tobacco settlement comes a program called Insure Oklahoma, which is a state not fully funded, but a subsidized program for people who make, you know, minimum wage, below minimum wage, slightly above minimum wage, who are excluded from public health care like Sooner Care. Small companies, startup companies can opt into this program called Insure Oklahoma, and they get top tier because the state requires that you provide the highest level of, like, say you're using Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The highest level has to be offered to that employee at a subsidized price. So
okay.
not only are we, trying to get people in the industry, we also recognize that there are people, like, there are restrictions on what we can pay people in other ways. So how do we compensate and what does that look like as a startup? And mm-hmm. one of the things that, you know, we've kind of explored through business background and experience and kind of understanding like the state and regulations and a little bit of law is that there are things within the state that we can tap into. And
yeah.
Insure Oklahoma is one mm-hmm. of them that kind of helps bring in good people, keep good people along with that PTO program.
Cool.
That's really cool. I love to see cannabis companies focus more on like creating a career path for their employees.
Absolutely.
versus just hiring people to hire people.
Agreed.
Because this industry is great. Obviously, there's so much growth, but I think one of the big growing aspects, growing areas for businesses is to treat it like a business. And in that, also having the mentality of how can I create careers for my employees and not just like a temporary, not even that, because some people are in the industry for a long time, but it doesn't feel like a career path. It just feels like I'm an assistant manager, manager of this dispensary, and then that's it. Like, I don't see a raise in the future. I don't see PTO. Like, I just am working just to work.
And absolutely.
I think that's a big thing, and it's very admirable that you guys are doing that, because not many people are moving like that in the industry. And that's so important, because in order for us to be, even as an industry, to be seen as like businesses, like proper businesses by the government, that's a big thing is, you know.
Oh, yeah. Being recognized integrating, by the government is huge.
Is integrating things like that and having HR teams. And, you know, maybe not everyone can afford that, but at least being mindful of it. And
absolutely.
Especially as an owner, as a leader, I think that's so important, because that's such a lack of in our industry. That it's so cool to see you guys doing that and creating that for your people.
Yeah, like I feel like it's rare when you hear people be like, I have benefits and I work for so-and-so. And you're like, what? Really? Mm-hmm. They must take care of you. Like, it's kind of like a, a shocking thing to hear. I feel
it is.
Or if I hear that from anybody, because a lot of people I know who work in the industry, like they don't have benefits or who they work for. Yeah. They don't.
They just know they're not guaranteed healthcare or like, time
or well taken
forget
care
about paid
of.
Time off like just time off period
in general,
you know, like they can't take longer than a weekend off or a day off or something like that. But it's also because people put so much money into this, you know, people don't have enough money to be able to hire more people, so it's like a bunch one person wearing the five different hats, which obviously everyone moves differently and is able to, but
I mean, that wearing five different hats is kind of the MO of a startup. Mm-hmm. And to say that any business in like Oklahoma that's cannabis related is not a startup is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. If it is a true Oklahoma business. Now, we have MSOs that come in, and that's a little bit different because they're a developed business that comes here.
Right.
But any Oklahoma company is a startup.
Yeah.
And so there are heavy restrictions on, you know, where do you spend your capital? What are you doing with it? Cannabis is not cheap to grow. So, I mean, and if you're going to make a profit, then that's where you have to invest. But investing your people is also important.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for, I mean, as our business model looks different, right? Because we have a grow, we have processing, we have manufacturing, and we didn't start there. And I think that that's kind of why we've been afforded to be able to utilize certain things or be able to place money in different places is because we're not a static company, and there's not like the tribe that you see today is not the tribe that was here yesterday. And it certainly wasn't the tribe that started. I mean, we started as a grow. The plan was to have fresh frozen, and we were just going to, you know, move it to market and let other people process it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go through the growing pains of not being able to find a processor, looking for splits or
what you can do for yourself at that point.
Then we implement a processing facility.
Yeah.
And then
it's cool to see the growth of where you came from to what you've worked up to. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm losing my train of thought here, but more than anything, it's just that, we've been fortunate to be able to offer those kinds of things more or less because we've not been static in our business. As the industry grows, we change our business model. There was, you know, high and mighty dreams of being just this one thing, but, you know, we grow with the industry. Whatever the industry needs, whatever the industry's looking for, that's kind of, we've been lucky enough.
Yeah.
We've had the backing, we've had the right minds in place. So we've been able to kind of adapt.
Yeah, I think that's a big
you
key.
You guys created
right
a solid
and,
foundation, if it seems like, too.
And so I'm really excited. We're expanding our lab. And now, you know, we've spent the last year really dialing in our brand. If there was a mistake to be made, we've made it. But, you know, anytime that one of the things that I think is kind of made an impression on our businesses. We were, you know, trying to get off the ground when COVID was happening. And there was nothing that you could get done internationally. There was, you know, even in different states was really difficult. Logistics was hard. And so one of the things that we kind of learned is that, you know, even like design time in general, takes 6 months, right? Like, why don't we bring design in-house? Or why don't we look for domestic packaging? Or that's kind of how we ended up, you know, with our print shop. We have a print shop now in-house. It's kind of like, well, you don't have an outlet for it. You don't have, or it's extremely expensive to have that outlet. Well, let's see what we can do about getting it done internally. So that's kind of how we've, honestly, I think our business model is, well, do we need it? Let's try to find it. Let's try to make it. It's kind of like,
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Jade Pebworth over at the Me Law Group in Oklahoma focuses to provide you with a comprehensive approach and intelligent advice and representation focused on resolving problems rather than inflating them.
She kills it with civil litigation, cannabis law, business planning, corporate law / litigation, and family law.
She enjoys working with companies from the ground up. Whether you need her to review and draft contracts for your company, assist in licensing applications, and more, the Me Law Group has your back.
Now, let's get back to today's episode.
I feel like that's solid. Also, just creating a solution to the problem that you have. And it's like, it's investing up front for faster time. Like you said, you know, lead times, like even now, like everyone's prepping for the Chinese New Year because they know that China's closed down for a month. So
is that coming?
Yeah. Based on, based on our Christmas and then, you know, that happening, it's like, well, you have to put your orders in now to be able to get them in February or what, you know, whatever the case may be. So you guys have kind of cut that middleman out because time is also money. So if you're spending that money up front, that cuts down your time, which obviously leads to you making money faster in my mind. So like, but not everyone thinks like that.
Well, and it also takes like, I mean, you're talking about financial backing that has to exist.
Yes,
and a lot
of
people aren't going to financially back you if you just are like, well, we're just going to go with the flow and see where this happens.
Yes.
So we've been really lucky in having trust that happens there. We honestly, like, now that you mention it, when I was being facetious when I said, is that happening? But we don't really have to worry about that.
Yeah, which is so nice.
Right.
It's so nice you guys not to worry about that. Because I know so many other people are gearing up for it. Like, I've been getting messages like, hey, if you guys want to prep for it, I would start doing it now, la, la, la. And
absolutely.
I'm like, okay, good to know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So with that being said, where did the idea of Tribe come from? Like, do you remember the moment when you guys just, when you decided to be a part of like a cannab or part of Tribe?
Well, so I was not a founding member of Tribe.
Okay.
Tribe existed before I ever did. So
okay.
Like the day that I walked on that farm, it had already been running for that was their second season.
Okay.
So I can't really speak to the idea of Tribe, but I do know that there's like this ethos of Tribe that's kind of always existed. Originally there were, you know, 5 founding partners. They all came from different backgrounds. They were each bringing a piece of their expertise to the business. And, you know, you've heard me talk about our business, so you can kind of understand that that's even bled through to today, you know, always finding the expertise in a certain field and bringing them in. And, and you know, when you talk about Tribe being a name or a logo or whatever, that kind of represents what they've done, right? You bring people in who are different. They become this family with the same, like, ideas, the same ethos, the same culture, and you embrace it, and then you just move
right, and you're building trust, you're building all these things while it's happening, which is making everything externally good, like, happen.
And they genuinely become your family members. And while I do have 2 brothers that work for me, I also have peers and coworkers who now have become my family.
That's so cool.
So what's the, like, you've been with Tribe long enough for you to know, but every brand has a personality, and you know, as you guys have evolved as a company, I'm sure your brand has evolved as well, because you guys don't seem like the type of people to stay stagnant. So how has your brand personality evolved, and what would you say like Tribe's personality or what they're trying to get across to like a consumer like me?
Okay. So I think that there are a few things. We have been lucky enough to be able to mass produce and to put things out there. But what I don't think people understand behind our brand is that we're actually producing quality items. It started early on, and I know you mentioned when you were talking about Tribe being solventless, we have both a butane lab and a solventless lab, mm-hmm. but anytime that we're doing anything, quality is our main concern. So, like, we are one of the last processors or brands who are still pushing live material, which basically means that we pull it straight from the field, mm-hmm. we bucket, we trim it down a little bit, and we're washing as close to the natural plant as you can get. And I mean, if you know anything about, like, and I'm sure both of you do, the curing process has has this ability to mess with the terpenes, right? Like, mm-hmm. you get less terpenes from a cured product than you do a live product. So when we talk about what Tribe's producing, yes, we have our solventless lab and we have our BHO lab, but we are always and have always been most concerned about medicine, mm-hmm. about, you know, being more than just getting high, and about actually putting a quality product in the jar. So regardless of the price that you're paying, because we are flexible and we will roll with whatever the industry needs or whatever the industry is asking for, that's one thing that we don't compromise on. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason that I'm here. You know, compliance is huge. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the law and... You know, it doesn't always mesh with business.
Yes.
So there are ways to cut corners legally to produce a product that's not compliant. And you know, it's just quality is kind of what we've always been focused on. Originally, our tagline was farm, kitchen, community, which is kind of still where we are. And it's kind of funny because it's actually defining kind of where our company is now going. Mm-hmm. You know, we started with a farm. We needed an outlet. We brought in the kitchen. We've kind of established our brand at this point. And now we're kind of taking our next turn in our business. You know, we talk about how we've brought so many things in-house and we have the ability to do all these things for ourselves. And we're realizing that that's great and all, but, you know, when you talk about the next step, which is farm, kitchen, community, what is it that we can do for the community? Well, we've dialed in our brand. We've made all of the mistakes on our stuff. We're pretty happy with where we are and we're starting a new, you know, this next leg in the business, which is just basically offering the things that we've dialed in here domestically, home, locally, to other people in Oklahoma, because we do recognize that not every brand has the flexibility that we have, or they're relying on the Chinese New Year and getting in early enough.
Right. But,
So, you know, I think that what would I say to people that I want them to know about Tribe is that while we are out there and we are attempting to do our best to be visible, it's not necessarily what you're seeing on the outside because the packaging is beautiful, but what's really in there is quality.
Yeah.
So you speak of quality. So let's talk about, like, when you guys, because obviously you guys have gone through different products that you guys have come out with and trial and error.
Oh, yeah.
And so
all of them.
Now you say you guys have made all the mistakes. So that you're in the place that you were at, what's like new products look like, and what's that look like when you're actually bringing it to market prior to really tailor it down and really coming up with something that, you know, patients will like? Because I mean, obviously you've been in this long enough to know that it's hard to tell what patients will like because every week it's something different almost.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you guys come up with, like, engineering a product that is, you know, is one going to be the quality, you have to dial it down, and you know that's going to be a smash with patients?
So the quality is never an issue, I feel like, when we're talking about our own stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because we have ensured that, you know, from the moment it was planted as a seed or a clipping that was taken, it's planted in the right stuff, it's given the right nutrients, it comes all the way through clean hands, it looks great on the legal side, because we know that we're not tampering with it on that side. So the quality piece is not really the issue per se when we're talking about what we're putting in our own products. When we're vetting products for other people, because we do white labeling and we do make other products for other people. So that's also talking about bringing cannabis in that's not ours into our own building.
Yeah.
And, you know, we vetting what actually goes in your medicine is by far the most important piece of that. Talking about ideas and how does that come to fruition, we occasionally do like a 4:30, shut the building down, everybody go home a little bit early, Some of the higher level management comes into a room. We might all smoke a joint together, and we just have like a creative session.
That's cool.
Where those are the best.
We stop talking about like what's stressing us out for the day, but what's inspiring us for the day? And it's a lot of feedback. It's a lot of feedback. We have a lot of people in a lot of important places. You know, our sales reps are out there. They're seeing what's going on. They provide feedback on pricing, what's moving, what's not. It's listening to the patients. And as a business owner, any business owner will know, like, if you want to take a mental beating, then you go to Reddit, right? those comments matter too.
They do.
They rock your boat sometimes if you let them.
You have to have a tough skin to get out there. But sometimes that's the kind of feedback that, I mean, whether they intend it to be constructive or not, like that, it matters. And we listen. We are listening. We're reading.
Yeah. But that's important too. Yeah. You know,
I think that's a big factor of it is if you're listening, be willing to listen, right? And if you're even if you're taking in that negative feedback, it's like, okay, well, that person had a reason to say it. It may not be right, but let's just take account to why they maybe said it and see if we can figure something out to make it something that not this one specific person enjoys, but you know, maybe we can twist our arm a little bit. So it's definitely, you definitely have to have thick skin to be in this industry, because I feel like people are so quick to just like blast on the internet, especially Reddit. And sometimes I'll go through Reddit like super late at night when I'm really high, and I'm like, I just get lost in comments. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, who has the time to sit here and just like write this stuff? You know,
but they find the time.
They sure do.
And they're gonna let everybody know.
The trolls stay trolling.
Yeah, but we're listening to you, trolls.
Yeah, the trolls matter too. Okay,
they do.
So, making your mark here in Oklahoma, what would you say Tribe is like best known for? Like, what is your best seller, your best moving product? Like, what puts Tribe on the map?
Numbers wise, Tribe is, you know, one of the top pre-roll companies out there in sales. Maybe not like what, you know, people are, you know, calling the, oh, this is the dopest
one,
or whatever. Mm-hmm. But from a sales perspective,
we
provide the whole state with lots of joints.
Yeah.
If you don't have joint jars on your shelf and you don't have dog walkers on your shelf, then, you know, are you really carrying Tribe?
Right. That's cool.
That's awesome.
So what do you love most about working for like a solid company like Tribe and the people that you get to work alongside with?
We talk about that family mentality and it literally, these people are my family. And it's funny because, you know, I am one of the older people in my company.
Yeah.
So I refer to my staff sometimes in passing and not really knowing, but like my kids, right?
Yeah.
So the kids are all back at work and they're working really hard or whatever. or the boys, right? Like those are, you know, my guy managers that are out there hustling, doing their things. Like, what are the boys doing today? Mm-hmm. My most favorite thing is that it is a space where people want to work together, because to be in this industry, you have to want to
do
it. Not only because, you know, sometimes there are those financial stressors, but there's also a social stigma that comes with it. So you have to want to be in it. And everyone there does. But then the other piece that we were talking about, and cannabis in general, is embracing of all people. And so it is a place where I find that my strong feminism or my liberal thoughts or, you know, whatever it is that I'm feeling that day, they don't, you know, they're embraced or, you know, someone's listening or no one's judging.
It's important to have people around you where you feel like you can say whatever, like in front of, but then, you know, they receive you well.
Well, and the dialogue's always open, right?
Like
just because, you know, I might be on this more liberal side, we still have people that I'm surrounded with that are still pretty conservative.
But you need a little balance to be able to see a little bit differently sometimes.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. That's
so
good you have that.
How do you go? You've talked about the people at Tribe a lot.
Yes.
And you are head of HR, which I'm assuming you play a big part in hiring people and who gets to be a part of Tribe. So what's a big part of like mindfulness or focus or intention that you guys have when you bring people on to Tribe and like the culture that you have now created at your company?
Okay, let's pause for a minute and talk about Oklahoma's grassroots cannabis publication, Herbage Magazine.
They are in over 500 dispensaries statewide, providing cannabis education and supporting and highlighting the local communities.
For more information, visit herbagemag.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-G-E-M-A-G.com.
So shameless plug, we are hiring.
Hey, there you
this
go.
This next part's important to listen to. So what do we look for in people? It's important to remember that this industry is not very old. So the people who are experts in this industry are not going to look like new hires in a traditional industry. They have backgrounds. They have, that's just the best way to put it. They have backgrounds. So that is not always our first go-to. We run a background check on everybody because obviously that's the legal aspect of it. But just understanding that there are people that come from different walks of life and that shouldn't exclude you from being able to be part of a business that you love or that you've embraced for so many years. But the thing, like, I would tell anybody that would want to apply it at Tribe or wants to work for Tribe is you can learn to do anything. Almost anybody can learn to do anything. So hiring people that fit our tribe, you know, find your tribe, fit your tribe, that is going to be the first thing. And then I always, when I'm hiring people, I don't just ask them what it is that you want to do today, because you will be hired. If you get on, you'll be hired for this spot. But tell me what it is that you want to do forever or in the next 5 years, next 10 years. I'm not asking for your 5-year plan. I'm just saying, like, what are you good at? Like, where would you like to go in this company? Because we do promote from within. It's really rare that we're hiring for any top position. We almost start everyone out rolling joints. Like, that's just kind of where we start. And then there's always room for growth, especially with a company like us, where we're not stagnant and we don't, you know, we're always doing something different. I think And outside of one other employee, the two, like, we've been there the longest in tenure. And he started as a kitchen manager.
Wow.
And now he's running business development.
Cool.
And he is by far one of the most brilliant people we have. He's the guy behind Hashmalls.
Okay.
So I think it's important to know that if you are a part of Tribe, that doesn't mean that you come in and then you just roll joints for the rest of your life, or you're just a kitchen manager for the rest of your life. Like, you're a person, you matter. What you want to do and where you want to go is honestly where I think that you should go, because I could hire you for compliance manager and you could end up as COO.
Right. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome.
It's a good perspective to have as a business owner is, you know, creating that opportunity for your employees so they also don't stay stagnant, because staying stagnant obviously sometimes can create friction.
I mean, we've been in jobs and positions to where you don't get, there's no room for growth.
Yeah.
And then you're just there because you're a committed and loyal person.
And you're just a body.
And then you're like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm worth way more than this. But
commitment and loyalty are kind of, I mean, they're assets, right?
Like, yeah.
If you don't reward
they are
assets. Those
assets. Yes.
Yeah.
Then you lose committed and loyal people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about going in and pushing a button or rolling a joint.
Right.
Or stuffing, capping and crowning. I mean, those are assets that they're bringing to the table as well. That's part of their work.
Yeah. It's important. So Kristen, you're also a mother. How do you personally like find that work-life balance with being in such a thriving, evolving industry?
I am grateful that I have an independent daughter.
That is huge.
Yes.
Work-life balance. So I am also lucky that Tribe is very family oriented. My daughter can come to work with me any day that she wants to.
Oh, cool.
Amazing.
And has. When we talk about cannabis and how we teach our children what cannabis is, my daughter is fully aware that cannabis is medicine. And so that's how we treat it when we go out into the field. If she, you know, we go out there, it's not, you know, it's not a drug. It's not recreation. It's not meant to just get you high. Like, those are not these things. And we really don't have those conversations.
Yeah.
It's about normalizing cannabis.
Yeah. Right.
So Where I go, she goes. That's kind of the work-life balance.
Yeah,
I love that.
When you're a single mom.
Yeah.
But I think exposing people early on and normalizing things removes stigma.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will tell you a funny story. So when my daughter was in kindergarten, on Mother's Day, they do these like really cute limericks. And it's like they ask their kids questions and they fill in the blanks. And it's like, my mom's age is... And it's like, 29. Yeah. Thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks, sweetie.
A short while ago, yes. And then, you know, like, my mom's favorite thing to cook is, like, a hamburger at Brahms. Yeah, well, we do that, too. So, but when asked about my job, my daughter put that I make grown-up popsicles with vitamins in them.
Hey, that's a great response. That's
and so I had cool. literally like, do you not see mommy as a lawyer?
You're like, honey, can we edit that?
No, popsicle.
And so her teacher calls and she's like, well, this is what's going on. I'm like,
but that's real. Yeah. It's life. Yeah. And she's telling you exactly the precious way you tell her, you know, it's like that. It is what it is. Yeah.
And when she smells terpenes and she's like, ooh, what's that smell? Medicine.
Yes.
So cool to have conversations with people who have companies and they have kids now that are like not involved in their companies, but they get to go to work with them.
But it's not something you can hide.
Yeah,
or that you
without
get to hide.
Like without even knowing it, your kids are involved, and like also without even knowing it, this is a career option for them now. And like, not that they want to do that, you know, not that, okay, not
so
saying
my
that
face
she
is
wants
not
to
a bad
do
face.
That.
It's just like one of contemplation.
Yes,
like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, where we'll be. And
where we'll be or what. But like all that to say, it's just crazy that we live in a world now where you're like, your kid has that opportunity if she ever wants to get into a cannabis space. And she's seen it from a medicinal standpoint. So like even her coming into it is going to be so much more well-versed, knowledgeable, you know, like it's coming from think about the first time you smoke to when the first time she's going to smoke. And like, she's going to have so much more knowledge and be like, ready, not ready, but you know what I mean? Like have that to where it was so different.
We didn't grow up
with that.
None of that was normal.
Yeah.
But it's like, I have a niece and nephew who is like 10 years old and 7. And I like definitely do my best to normalize cannabis with them around them. They know what I do. They know I consume and stuff, you know, but it's like, I feel like they're being armed with this knowledge that I don't know. It's like it's like a one up on other kids who don't know or something to me. Like I feel like it's like
the first to know may not always be the best to know. So you have to do some quality
for
control.
Sure.
Yes.
For sure. No. Yeah. Yeah. I say that lightly, but
well,
you know,
I also feel like a lot of parents that we've talked to just over the 4 years we've been doing this, it's like the parents who are open about their cannabis consumption or their business have really great relationships with their kids at a very young age of that open conversation.
It's very educational the most of the time I hear it.
Yeah, and even when it comes to like when they drink or, you know, like all these things that they might get into, it's not that it's less likely, but the conversation's so open that like I feel like a lot of the parents that we've talked to have no worry about their kids
or
like,
people
ever getting
on
into some shit because their kids are curious and they haven't been exposed isn't the right word, but they haven't been.
We've had people come on the podcast before and they like said like their relationship with like their parents growing up, it was like they weren't getting their hands slapped for cannabis or something. And but like it molded them in like a way of them not getting into other stuff. Like kind of like a trick. I don't know. Like
I
feel
like
I've just seen
parent
it
to parent
in different,
so different. You know,
right.
Kid to kid is so different, but it's just, it's interesting. I feel like that just, it just creates a different conversation because cannabis is seen such as a drug and like, you know, how parents, how you say like your career defines you. So you have to be comfortable being in cannabis.
Absolutely.
So when you go to your kid's school and it's like, what do you do? Well, I'm the COO of a cannabis company. And it's like, oh, cannabis? Yeah. You know, that stigma's still there. But she gets to be raised by you, a great mom in a thriving company who she gets to see as a businesswoman. And that cannabis stigma doesn't stick with her.
I find it interesting that you say that because it is... You know, we don't really have a lot of conversation around consumption because that is not something that I do around her.
Yeah.
But so she will see it as a business.
Yeah.
And she will see it as something that's legitimate and just like any other mom that's out there trying to run a company or a startup. Like she'll see the same struggles and she won't associate, you know, cannabis with something that's not completely normal.
Yeah.
Which
it's
is cool. Good.
I feel like I just admire, like what I'm saying is I admire you and what you're doing with your kid and like educating and being open. You know, it's just so important because I feel like sometimes people can be so like closed with that, with their children, you know, or like, you know, you want to, I don't know. I think it's important to have some leeway.
Yeah. It's a hard conversation. It's
not
a hard topic.
The norm, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's something that normally
people
want to do or, but because it is my job, like it's a real conversation.
You have
to
navigate that and you have to figure out what feels the best and what's going to resonate. But if you could go back and tell your younger self anything, Kristen, what would you say to her?
Do all the things. No, I'm just kidding. I've always been a rule follower, so I've never really done that. I mean, I think that the best advice I would have given myself is that you're okay. It's okay to be who you are because growing up, that's really a hard thing, is to kind of find your identity and find who you are. And so there was always a lot of self-doubt, especially being a female who has a strong voice, who is a little OCD, so sometimes can be a little bossy. We don't use that word at my house. We're all leaders.
Yes, that's good. there you go.
But yeah, I think that the advice for myself would just be that, like, you can't get where you're going without being who you are.
Right.
And I don't look back on my life and think that there are things that I need to change per se, because I wouldn't be who I am today. It's just about being more open-minded and understanding that other people are who they are. But yeah, just embrace yourself.
That's good.
Kind of what I would say.
So we like to ask everyone this question, but what's the stigma surrounding cannabis you would like to see changed?
Well, for one, that it is not medicine, right? Because it is. I would like people to take more interest in cannabinoids and terpenes rather than just THC levels.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And then, you know, the other stigma would be that you're just because you consume that you're not lazy.
Yeah.
Because that one is a really difficult one for people who look at me as a lawyer and understand that, we kick a lot of ass during the day. So, you have your glass of wine at night. I'm gonna have my dog walker.
Exactly, my dog walker. I love that. Well, Kristen, I think this wraps up our episode for today. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us. It was fun to get to know you better and Tribe as a company.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah,
thank you so much for being here. For those listening and interested in finding out more about Tribe and trying their product, check them out on Instagram at findtribe2.0 and on their website, tribeforlife.com. Thank you again, Kristen, and to all of our beautiful humans listening out there. Stay tuned for next week's episode. And as always, Bran,
stay medicated.